Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So please help me welcome Monica, a compulsive overeater from Delaware. Thanks. Welcome, Monica.
Thank you, everyone. Monica, a compulsive eater. And I want to thank Dobell, I hope I pronounced that right, for putting it out there. She needed a speaker. And I was celebrated my anniversary with married 25 years to my husband. We had a party, but my anniversary is the 27th. But anyway, I had my sister over and we were just sitting there and I said, oh, let me speak, because I am truly grateful for this program, Overeaters Anonymous. I'm also sober 29 years, one day at a time. Credits do not apply. I'm glad somebody told me that when I went to OA. So a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So what it was like was, I believe that I've been an overeater, born one. My mother restricted us from food a lot, you know, like when she punished us with food, like, you know, you can't eat sweets, this and that. But that's got nothing to do with, you know, because as you, most of you know, that overeating is and also an illness. And in a way, we use the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's how I have become abstinent. Just a few pictures of what I was look like. So I've the highest weight that I've been is like 190 when I was pregnant with my daughters. And the highest weight that I was about 4 years ago, about 176 pounds. I am now 128, and that's weight, because so everybody knows that the food plan and the weight, that is all like the food plan is a tool. I'm glad somebody told me that the food plan is a tool. I have a disease of the mind, the body, and the spirit. But I'll just show you this because what also helped me come into OA was in, first of all, I got sober in 1993, and I've always had a food problem, food addiction, now that I know that I am, because I'm in OA. And what happened was about 17 months ago, I realized that my compulsion of food was getting out of control. You know, and because of the pandemic, I was going to a lot of AA meetings, you know, 24/7, some of them were. And I hit a bottom, and I was going to go on another diet in January, 17 months ago. So the 2021, I think. Yeah, 2021. And I wanted to go on another diet. But what happened was prior to that, I said, let me go. I said, if AA has meetings on Zoom, OA also maybe has a meeting. And I went on the meetings, and as I'm eating in the dark and, you know, crying and all this stuff, I kept listening to the meetings. So it suggested six meetings, listen to other six meetings. So as I was listening to the meetings, I realized that you know, somebody said, you got to be willing. And you hear that a lot in the beverage program, I'll say, because they say in a way they call it the beverage program. So the beverage program, so I said, oh, willing, that's it. I got to be willing. But I kept, you know, doing my thing. And then I kept going to meetings. That's why it's so important with really it's recommended to listen to as many meetings as possible. And then I was like, okay. And then somebody said, action. I'm like, oh, willingness, but I got to take action. Yes, yes, yes. So then, you know, I was ready to go on another diet January 1st and of 2021. And I realized, so I had a sort of a food plan, you know, so I stayed away from my binge foods and on the food plan. And I was talking to somebody I'm glad that this person told me, Monica, the food plan is only a tool, and then the rest, you know, you need to work a program. And I'm so glad. So what happened was I went on a meeting and I started talking to this lady and I started sending her my food, and she was very kind and everything, but I knew that I can get over on her. I don't know, for some reason I'm like, I can get over on this lady, but you know, who am I going to get over on, really? I'm going to get over on myself. But so anyway, 2 weeks later, I went on the Cherry Hill meeting on Sunday night, and there was, you know how they have a meeting and then they have the parking lot. So I went, or beginner's meeting, and I went there, and there was the sponsor that I got sent to me. She had a sense of humor. She talked reality about the disease of compulsive eating. And then I listened to her and I said, oh, could you please sponsor me? So, well, she goes, call me. So what she did is I called her and we talked a little bit, and then she sent me about 20 questions of powerlessness, of the step one powerlessness and unmanageability, and you know, and the foods that I saw that if I eat, you know, in AA they go, you have the first drink and you get drunk. In OA we say you have the first bite and then you know, you're off to the races. Don't have the first bite. So as I was writing, it was like a history, right? It's like a history of my eating. I was like, I couldn't believe it, how food has been in the mix since, as far as I can remember. I think I was like 10 years old when my sister was hiding her vitamins, and there were those gummy vitamins, and I think I ate half of the bottle. And then my mother was, she's like, what happened? Somebody ate the half of the bottle of vitamins. What happened? And you know, we're five girls, so who's going to say? So finally I did it. So I couldn't take vitamins for almost a year and a half. And then I would also the babysitting. I used to go babysitting, and I have a twin sister, and we both eat the people that we babysat from household, from the food. One of the ladies called my father and said, look, I love your daughter, they're great babysitters, but they're eating me out of house and home. When I buy these special foods, I drive an hour to get them, and here we are. And you know, so my father used to call us the Vikings. So it was in my life. And then so I knew I had, to tell you the truth, I knew I had some kind of addiction, but nobody can help me. And everybody, and I don't think that it's true that nobody could help me. I think that I wasn't ready, because I remember prior to coming to OA this time, a woman was trying to help me. And I said, I can't do it. I can't, it's too much. It's too much. And then when I went to OA the first time, somebody was giving me their food plan. And this is what really made me stay in OA. And this is when the light lit for me, with the definition of abstinence, which is, I'll say it in my own words, but I have it here on my phone. In my own words, I'll say it's the refraining refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive behaviors, getting to a healthy weight and maintaining a healthy weight. And that I said I could do because your abstinence can be, my abstinence can be different from Ilana's and Lynn's and Haley's. So to thine own self be true. But what really hit the ball, like you'd be playing baseball, what really hit the ball to the ballpark was that I started doing the step work. So as I'm reading the big book, after I do all my, which are the foods that I need to abstain from. When I was reading Bill's story, I was reading that about the allergic reaction of the allergic of
20 minutes left.
Thank you. The physical craving, the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady. And as I'm reading this, because I'm reading from literature, I'm 29 years sober, at the time I'm 27 and a half years sober, and I'm like, oh, it was like, I was like this, oh, I'm using food like alcohol, because I would try diets, I would try everything. Oh, I'll just go to the ice cream place, and I'll just, the mini. But I didn't know, like now it's hitting me. Like every time that I tried, I wasn't able to do anything because I have this compulsion that when I have the first bite of certain foods, I'm gonna compulsively eat. And that was like a miracle. And I continued to do the steps. We went through the steps for about 9 months, but now, I've learned that you can do them quicker. And I know why now, because as you do the steps quicker, you get to food neutrality. If you don't know what food neutrality is like, I had this party yesterday, and it's, a lot of my compulsive foods are there. But for me, I was there for the social. The food wasn't calling out to me. And what hasn't happened in 17 months, I haven't woke up with regret, remorse. I haven't woke up like, oh, I'm just so full. I'm so, oh, why did I do it again? I'll start Monday. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? And as I hear other speakers speak, like this is a disease that make you feel the worst of your worst. And so now, then what happened was I kept doing the steps, right? So first, the first two steps are reflective steps. I did that history and I realized like, I'm like in AA, I don't know if somebody could tell me in AA how they say, I was a cucumber, but now I'm a pickle. I can't go back to a cucumber, right? And the same thing with food. I can't go back to, I don't think I was ever a normal eater. Then I made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God. And I made the decision, and that decision is just, I'm ready to do the steps and I'm ready to do some action. And the action was the fourth step, a fearless and moral inventory. Right. So if I am giving my life and my behavior and my thoughts to God, and I am going to look at my eating, overeating, as like I would look at a store. Right. I'm the owner of a store, and I have to take inventory, because some of these items, if I keep them on the shelf, they're not going to do anything for me and the store. So how I relate that to me is, if I don't look at myself and the behaviors and actions that I took compulsively eating, I'm going to repeat it. So I was able to do that, and she had me do it in a few days. But this is where I got the ego, because, oh, I'm in another 12-step group, right? I've done this and I'm this many years, you know what? No, you know, that is not the truth. And thank God that I was open-minded to do what I was told in another program, in this program. And what I did was I said, okay, I'll do it. So I sat down, I prayed, I said, God, please help me. And I started just, you know, with the columns and everything. And I, you know what I realized? I'll save you the work. No, I'm not going to save you nothing. But I'll just tell you, because it's easier, because that's why I live a happier, peaceful life now, is because I want everybody to be the way I want them to be. If you behave the way I want you to behave, and if you do this and that, then you'll be my best friend. But if you don't, I'm going to be talking bad about you. I'm going to give you dirty looks. I'm going to walk away from you. But then I have to look, how am I dishonest with myself? I'm dishonest because I fool myself that I can control everybody, and I can control, I have no control of anything. So I give it to God. I give it to God. God, please take this from me. That's the third step prayer, right? Please take this from me. Because today my life is not my life. And I'm telling you, God has graced me, right? He has graced me not only to be sober, but to be abstinent today. I've also worked codependency. But you know what? You never arrive. Any program I do, you don't arrive. It's a day at a time program that I need to do every day. The number one thing, stay abstinent. And that's only like 10% of it. The rest, I need to turn my life and my will to the care of God. And that's what I've done. I did it for today. But what I did today is not going to count for tomorrow. So then once I did the fifth, I told, you know, I told her, you know, I sat with it with God, and I told my sponsor. I'm telling you, you get those tough sponsors that tell you what you don't want to hear. I still talk to her. So then the sixth and seventh step, a lot of you go to Scottsdale meeting and also family afterwards. So, you know what, it's like big book, right? And what I do today is not going to count tomorrow. And okay, so step six and seven. So Harlan says what? A few seconds. And then seven. So six and seven doesn't have to take me 3 years. It takes me 10, not even 5 minutes. I'm saying the prayers, and I work that every day. Then the eighth and the ninth step. You know, from, I get those names from my inventory. And the mostly I hurt was myself, yes, but also my husband. Something about me being abstinent today, and I'm so glad that I'm married 25 years. And I'll tell you something, I don't know how I'm married 25 years. And because in those 25 years, I don't know how many times I wanted to divorce my husband because he's not doing what I want him to do. And I'll tell you, he's the nicest man ever. You know, I'm the one who's selfish. You didn't do this for me. And he's the one who's helped me really with my abstinence, because he's done a lot of the cooking for me, because, you know, he's retired and I work full time. But still, I am starting to realize from this work to appreciate people. Like today I went, you know, we went out to breakfast. So I won't go in, and the lady goes, okay, can I have your name? I said, yeah. And then this woman came right in my face and said, excuse me, you know, I was ahead of you. You should have seen me. I wasn't this little nice person you see right now. I was like, well, excuse me, I didn't know. And that's how I was. And then I was sitting there, and I was being a bitch. And I said, oh, Monica, you need to do a 10th step. And my sister's in the program, and, you know, the beverage folk. And I just said the 10th step real loud. And do you believe that diminished that anger and that ego? Just diminished in 3 minutes, because the 10th step is four through nine. So today, if I'm disturbed about something, I'm going to call somebody, and I'm going to tell them how I'm being, like I just talked about, self-centered, selfish, dishonest, fearful. Because, you know, fearful. I'm fearful because I want to be the best wife. I want to be fearful because, you know, I'm perfect. I didn't know you were waiting ahead of me. You know, but you know what? I do it. And today I have this peace of mind. And only if somebody is working this program and is doing the step work can really identify. I have a lady that I work with, that she's worked, we both work with each other. She's really sweet. And she's in the room. I'm not going to tell her name or anything. But she's very helpful to me too. We send each other a nightly inventory. I read her. She's more thorough than I am. But when I do that, I need to also say, "What God?" Because I say, "God, please, why would you want me to be? God, how do you want me to correct this behavior?" Like now, I'm not uncomfortable like being bitchy to this lady that wants to be bitchy. So I'm the one with the program. So I
10 minutes remaining.
Oh, thank you. I need to behave like a woman of dignity and honor that God wants me to. All right, so let me just show you the picture I'm going to show you, and then let's see what other things God wants me to say. I'll go into steps 10. Let me see here, like if you guys can see this. Okay, I don't know. Can you see? Okay, that's one of them. And here's another one. Oh, that's when I got my dose of the pandemic. And this is this was at the convention, the OA birthday. So you could tell me, they say the vanity, stay for the sanity, not the vanity. Well, guess what? I'm a little vain too, which is all right. All right. So, but it's not about that. It's about because I'll just tell you, I have a twin sister, and my twin sister is about 150. She's an overeater. She's about 150 pounds or more, and she knows that she's an overeater. And you know, it's like when I see her, she sees me. So she was coming every time since I got abstinent and I have lost the weight. She's been really like, "Oh, you're too thin." And if I ever got to your weight, lost weight, I would never get that thin because, you know, if you get sick, how are you going to? I said, "Veronica," that's her name. I said, "Veronica, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to, you're going to come visit. I don't want to discuss that. I want us to just be. I just want us to just have a good time." And guess what? We had a good time. This is the best time I've had with my twin without us being like, "Oh, you're doing this, you're doing that." Why? And because also I believe today that I have a peace of mind and a sanity. So the steps, 10, like I told you, I do steps 11. I as soon as I get up, I don't have this little routine. I'm getting, you know, like today, I'll tell you what I did today, what I'm going to start doing from now on. They have a wonderful meeting, a two-way prayer meeting. And I went on it this morning at 7 a.m. It was unbelievable. You just sit down and you meditate a little bit, and then you ask your higher power, "What would you have me to be today?" And then you just sit and you just wait, and then you just write what your higher power is telling you. And then you give each other some feedback if you want it. Like, "Oh, you know," so that was really helpful. So what I do when I get up in the morning is I have a lot of my prayers on the phone. So I read a lot of my prayers. And sometimes I look at Facebook, but no, I look at my prayers. I pray. I ask God to help me and guide me, and throughout the day, I don't have to be this guru. Throughout the day, I'm asking God to please help me. Please help me with this task, because I believe I have ADD, undiagnosed. But anyway, what I do is as I'm doing something, if I get distracted, say, "God, please just help me focus on this task." Throughout the day, I'm talking to God. When I am in stress, like when I was 9 months abstinent, I went to Aruba with my mother and my sister, and it was the trip from hell. And I abstained. I was a little rough, you know. Me and my sister had a little fight, but I was able to call somebody from Aruba. I was able to put my little ear thing and get on Zoom meetings, but I got sick because it was very toxic, me going there, just the dynamics and everything. But then I had to do that to find out that, you know, I need to stop people pleasing. And, you know, my sanity comes first. My sanity, I do not want to be the person that I was 17 months ago. You know, even though I didn't look overweight, you know, because I wasn't big, but, you know, I was crazy in the head, meaning like I would criticize my husband and he would look at me and then wondering why aren't we close? Why aren't we romantic? Because of this, but because of God and OA and for my able to be open to do the work, I'm able to be at peace today. You know,
5 minutes.
How long? Five?
Five.
Okay, thank you. She's great. Thank you, Kat. So so my family now sees me, you know, because we're the kind of family, right? That always dieting, you know, five girls, right? And my mother always, you know, wanted to look good. And so now it's like, you're getting too thin, this and that. So I am just so you know, I'm at a normal weight. I did my BMI today. Not that I, you know, but the thing is, because I'm concerned, because I was concerned, like, how did I ever get to this weight? I've been on diets. I've never been this size in my life, but this is where God wants me to be. I'm a channel of God, not of a diet. I'm a channel of God that when I eliminate foods or things, it doesn't always have to be yet. If we're far away, you know, it's got to be it's food. But if I don't eliminate toxic things out of my life, it could be people, places, things, I am not going to be a sane person. I'm going to be either stressed or putting you down or, oh, I can't believe this life. But thank God today, by me getting abstinent, I have like another layer of sobriety. And that is a miracle. And that's why I want to shatter through the rooftops. But I can't go to somebody and say, hey, you need OA. No. So I'm being the best example. And I'll tell you something, that it's 17 months now and people see me when I eat, I'm eating nutrition. And the miracle of it is that my food, and people identify, my food that I eat, it I feel like I'm fueling healthy. My body, it now craves healthy food. And that's truly a miracle, because I look at my trigger foods as I do alcohol. I won't just have a little bit of it, you know? So I just thank God that he has graced me with this program. For the people that are in two programs, I work both programs. I sponsor people in AA, I sponsor people in OA. I got a new sponsee recently. I can take outreach calls, and I will help as best as I can, because it helps me to stay abstinent. And I want to thank, I hope I pronounced her name right, Dobell, for putting it out there. And my higher power wanted me to speak. And July 7th, I'll be 65 years old. And this is the best health I've been since, I don't remember. I can't even remember, because I'm truly healthy, not, you know, diet, I look thin, and, you know, truly healthy. My BMI, my blood, because I got, that's another thing. My blood work is, you know, when I go, I'm gonna be 65, right? And the first thing they ask somebody at my age, can you give me your prescription list? I got zero prescription list, and they're like, whoa. The last time I went to the doctor, the woman says, oh, you're easy. I like the easy patients. But that's all because of God. And maybe the genes too. My mom's 93 and she's healthy. So that's God. Thank you. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so very much, Monica, for stepping up at the last minute and sharing your experience, strength.